Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
Have you ever had one of those days where you feel completely out of sync? You know, you got your 8 hours of sleep, but you wake up feeling exhausted. Or that afternoon slump hits you like a ton of bricks, right when you need to be most productive.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like you're fighting a current you can't even see. You're doing all the right things, eating well, trying to sleep, but your body just isn't on the same page as your to-do list.
Exactly. And that feeling, that invisible current, that's really what we're talking about today. What if the key to unlocking better health, more energy, and even a better mood isn't just about what we do, but when we do it?
That question is precisely why I've been so fascinated by this topic. For years, I just accepted that I was a night owl living in a morning person's world. I thought it was just a quirk, something I had to power through. But the idea that there's an actual science behind it, a biological reason for it, is completely game-changing for me.
It is. For me, the interest came from a place of, well, utter frustration with jet lag. I used to think it was just about lost sleep, but then I realized it was so much deeper. My entire body felt displaced in time. It made me realize there's this profound internal clock ticking away inside all of us, governing everything. And that clock has a name, chronobiology.
The science of our body's natural rhythms. And today, we're going to dive deep into it. We're not just going to explore the theory, we're going to uncover how we can listen to these rhythms and align our modern lives with our ancient biological programming.
We'll be looking at how to harness this powerful internal system for some truly sustainable transformations in our wellness. This is about moving from fighting our bodies to finally, working with them.
So, get ready to explore the hidden superpower you never knew you had. Your own internal clock.
So, to really get a handle on this, we have to ask the question, where is this master clock? It sounds so abstract, but it's a physical place in our brain. A tiny, tiny region in the hypothalamus called the suprachiasmatic nucleus, or SCN.
The SCN. Okay, so it's not just a vague feeling. It's an actual biological command center.
It's the conductor of the entire orchestra. And like any good conductor, it needs to keep time with the outside world. Its primary cue.
Right, which makes intuitive sense. Sun up, we're up. Sun down, we wind down. But how does the SCN see? It's buried deep inside the brain.
That is the most fascinating part. It sees through your eyes, but not in the way you think. For years, we thought the eyes only had two types of photoreceptors, rods for low light and cones for color vision.
For making images of the world. Yeah.
Exactly. But it turns out there's a third type, discovered relatively recently. They're called intrinsically photosensitive retinal ganglion cells, or IPRGCs. They aren't really there to help you see objects.
Wait, what? So there are cells in my eyes that aren't for vision?
Their main job is to detect the ambient level of light, especially blue light, and report that information directly to the SCN. They are the non-visual light detectors. They're literally telling your brain what time of day it is.
That is mind-blowing. So when I'm staring at my phone in the dark, the light from that screen isn't just making it hard for my eyes to adjust. It's sending a direct signal to my brain's clock saying, hey, it's the middle of the day. Be awake.
You've hit it right on the head. It's a dedicated, high-speed line from your retina to your master clock. And this discovery was a massive turning point because it showed how light has this profound biological effect, completely separate from sight.
And it's not just about sleep, is it? The text you showed me mentioned that these IPRGCs connect to parts of the limbic system, which is all about emotion and memory.
That's the next critical piece of the puzzle. This light information isn't just setting your sleep-wake cycle. It's directly influencing your mood, your ability to learn, your stress levels, everything.
So the studies on mice, the ones exposed to those weird short light-dark cycles, they weren't just sleep-deprived. The light itself, at the wrong time, was directly causing depression-like symptoms.
Independent of sleep, yes. Their total sleep was the same, but the constant, ill-timed light exposure was elevating their stress hormones and impacting their mood. When they removed the IPRGCs in other mice, the effect vanished.
It reframes light completely. It's not just illumination, it's a nutrient, or maybe a drug, depending on when you get it. It's an active ingredient we're consuming through our eyes all day long.
A drug is the perfect metaphor, because like any powerful medication, the dose and the timing are everything. You wouldn't take a stimulant right before bed, right? But we blast our brains with the most potent stimulant we have, blue spectrum light, for hours after the sun has gone down.
And the flip side is true too, isn't it? If you don't get that dose of bright light in the morning, your clock never really gets the signal to properly start the day. You're just sort of drifting.
You are in a state of biological twilight. That morning light, especially within the first hour of waking, is the single most powerful signal for anchoring your entire rhythm for the next 24 hours. It's the starting gun for the race.
So, all those times I've woken up in a dark room, shuffled to my desk with just a dim lamp on, I was basically telling my master clock it was still, I don't know, 5 a.m., even if it was 9 a.m.
Precisely. You're creating a conflict. Your social clock says it's time to work, but your biological clock is still waiting for the go signal. And that creates a drag on the whole system. But it actually gets even more complicated than that.
Oh, of course it does. How?
Because the SCN, that master clock in your brain, isn't the only clock in your body. Not by a long shot. Think of it as the conductor of an orchestra. But every single musician has their own sheet music and their own watch.
What do you mean? Like, my liver has a watch?
Your liver has a watch. Your pancreas, your digestive system, your muscles, every organ system has its own peripheral clock. They're all genetically programmed to run on a roughly 24-hour cycle.
That's wild. So what are they listening to? If the SCN is listening to light, what is my stomach's clock paying attention to?
Primarily, the timing of your meals. Food is the main time cue for your metabolic organs. So now, you can start to see the potential for chaos.
Okay, I think I'm getting it. So, let's say I stay up late, staring at my laptop. My SCN, my brain's clock, gets that blue light and thinks, okay, it's still daytime, stay alert.
Right. It's sending out daytime signals to the whole body.
But then, at midnight, I eat a huge bowl of pasta. And my digestive system, which had already shut down for the night based on its own internal rhythm, suddenly gets this massive signal that says, hey, it's mealtime, fire up the furnaces.
You've just created internal jet lag. Your brain is in one time zone, and your digestive system is in a completely different one. It's a state of profound desynchrony. The conductor is playing a lullaby, but the percussion section just started a samba.
And my body has no idea what to do with that food. It's not prepared to process it efficiently. So it probably just stores it as fat more easily.
More easily, yes. It raises your insulin, your blood lipids, all at a time when they should be at their lowest. It's not just what you eat. It's that you're forcing your organs to do a day's work on the night shift, and they are not happy about it.
This reframes so much of the health advice we get. It's not just about calories in, calories out. It's about metabolic timing. It's about giving your body the right inputs at the time it's actually expecting them.
And that concept of metabolic timing is where this becomes so incredibly practical. It's not just an abstract idea. We have studies where they take two groups of people, feed them the exact same number of calories, but one group eats their main meal earlier in the day, and the other eats it late at night.
And, let me guess, the late-night group doesn't fare as well.
Not even close. The late-night eaters consistently show worse metabolic outcomes. Higher blood sugar, higher insulin resistance, even when the calories are identical. It proves that the timing of the energy input is a critical variable in what your body does with that energy.
Well, it's frustrating, isn't it? To think of all the times I've been good all day and then had a big dinner late because that's when I finally had time to relax. I thought I was doing okay because the daily calorie count was fine.
We all did. We were taught to think of the body as a simple furnace, but it's not. It's a highly sophisticated factory with different departments that are only open at specific times. You can't just dump raw materials on the loading dock at midnight and expect the day shift to handle it.
The loading dock is closed. The workers have gone home, and the raw materials just pile up.
They pile up. And that piling up is what we see as increased fat storage and metabolic dysfunction over time. The body is in storage and repair mode at night, not in high gear digestive mode. So you're forcing it to do something it's fundamentally unprepared for.
This brings up a really difficult question for me, though. This all makes perfect sense for someone who can control their schedule. But what about people who can't? I'm thinking about shift workers. Nurses, doctors, pilots, factory workers. Their entire lives are built around being awake when their SCN is screaming at them to be asleep.
That is the most challenging and important frontier in chronobiology research. Because for them, this isn't an occasional late-night meal. This is their baseline reality. It's a state of chronic, forced desynchronization.
So what does that do to them long-term? Is their orchestra just always playing out of tune?
The data is. Well, it's sobering. We see significantly higher rates of type 2 diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and even certain types of cancer in long-term shift workers. And for a long time, we thought, oh, it's because they're sleep-deprived, or maybe they have unhealthier habits.
But this suggests something deeper. It's not just the lack of sleep. It's the timing itself that's the problem. It's the biological stress of having your liver clock in one time zone and your brain clock in another.
It's a foundational stressor. Imagine the level of internal inflammation and hormonal chaos that creates over years. Their risk isn't just a consequence of their lifestyle choices. It's a direct consequence of their biological reality being at war with their social and work reality.
So what can be done? Are there strategies for them? It feels almost cruel to present this information without offering some kind of solution, you know?
It is. And that's where the science is moving now. It's less about finding a magic bullet and more about strategic mitigation. There's no way to make night shift work biologically natural, but we can reduce the harm.
Okay, so how? What does that look like in practice?
Well, it's about using the tools we've discussed. For example, using very bright blue spectrum light boxes at the beginning of a night shift to trick the SCN into thinking, okay, this is the start of my day now. It's an artificial sunrise.
And then, an artificial sunset at the end of the shift? Like wearing those blue light blocking glasses on the drive home?
Precisely. You create a bubble of controlled light exposure, and you align your meals within that bubble. You eat your dinner at the end of your shift, not your breakfast. You try to give your body the most consistent, albeit shifted, set of cues you possibly can.
So you're essentially trying to create a coherent, if time-shifted, internal day. You're getting the orchestra to at least play the same song, even if it's at 3 a.m.
You're trying to get them all on the same page. It won't eliminate the stress entirely, but it can significantly reduce the chaos of having every organ on a different schedule. It's an imperfect solution to a profoundly difficult problem.
It's something, though. And it brings me back to a thought that's been nagging at me throughout this whole conversation. We've talked about these huge, complex systems, but for the average person listening, it all seems to boil down to a few surprisingly simple, almost primal things.
Go on.
get sun in your eyes in the morning. Dim the lights and avoid big meals before bed. It's almost comically simple, yet it's the foundation for everything we've discussed. It feels like we've spent a century building a world that systematically ignores those two rules.
I think that's the most profound insight of all. We haven't just ignored them, we've framed fighting them as a virtue. The hustle culture that celebrates burning the midnight oil. It's a celebration of biological self-harm. We've been rewarding ourselves for actively working against our own nature.
And for me, the biggest shift isn't just a new set of rules to follow. It's a change in perspective. When I pick up my phone at 11 p.m. now, it's not a question of willpower anymore. I physically feel that light as a signal, a piece of information I'm feeding my brain. And I can ask, is this the information I want my master clock to have right now?
That's it. You're moving from unconscious action to conscious signaling. For me, the lasting thought is about the morning. The idea that those first 10 minutes of sunlight aren't just pleasant. They are a non-negotiable biological appointment. It sets the trajectory for everything. It's the anchor. It's not passive. It's the most active thing you can do to manage your energy and mood for the entire day.
It's about intention. Intentionally starting the clock and intentionally winding it down. It's a rhythm, not a switch. I guess that's really the heart of it.
It is. And it's a hopeful message, I think. It suggests that we have more agency over our well-being than we thought. It's not about some new expensive supplement or a crazy diet. It's about listening to a rhythm that's already there, waiting for us to sync up with it.
A superpower we all have. Well, this has been, honestly, paradigm shifting for me. Thank you. And thank you to everyone who tuned in and explored this with us. We hope it's given you a new lens through which to see your day and your night.